chapter 22, we're going to read from verse 34 to verse 40. Matthew 22, from verse 34 to verse 40. Let's read together. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which is the greatest command in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depends all the law and prophets." Let's bow our heads and pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for saving us. We thank you, Lord, that you have kept us. We thank you for your hand of grace that is upon us. Lord, as we open your word, we pray, Father, that you prepare our hearts to listen to you, to hear you speak to us, to transform us into your likeness. We pray, Father, that we continue to rejoice in hearing you speak to us. And may we never, Lord, take for granted your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we're reading in a familiar passage where Jesus is teaching or is having conversation with the leaders and the gatekeepers, if I can call them, of religion in the first century. Here you have the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Jesus has just come back into Jerusalem, and the Sadducees and the Pharisees had a plan to trap him. If we look back from verse 15, for example, the Pharisees ask him a question. And the question is meant to be a trap, asking him about taxes. Who should we pay taxes or not? And Jesus responds to them. And after responding to them, another group comes in. And the Sadducees, because they did not believe in resurrection, they also ask him a question in a way to trap Jesus. And they say, "So if a man marries and he dies, and the wife takes the brother, and he dies, and so on, what happens at the resurrection?" And Jesus responds to them, "You don't know the scriptures. You don't know what the scriptures teaches." And thirdly, and by the way, the Pharisees were very pleased to see the Sadducees being silent by Jesus Christ, but they didn't want to express that so the people can see. And now we come again to the Pharisees. The Pharisees are not coming to listen to Jesus because they want to learn from him. They are not here because they are sincere in their following of Jesus Christ. And so now they send one of their best, the best and the expert in the law, to kind of put Jesus in the corner. And he goes and he asks perhaps we can think of this question as a very important question. It's just that it came from a wrong place. And the question he asked, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment?" And Jesus responds, he does not rebuke him. He does not call him a hypocrite, but he responds to him. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart." You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. It is a very, very important response, because Jesus is dealing with a religion that is based on legalism. He's dealing with people that look at religion or the relationship with God on the external things they do. And Jesus' response exposes the falsehood of their religion. Remember, we're talking about people here who were held at high regard in those society. They were treated as leaders of those community. These were the people who everyone models their life around. They were the teachers of how to have a relationship with God. And Jesus was exposing them that their religion is false. You see, the Pharisees, in their attempt to have a relationship with God and the law that they have been given, instead of the law driving them to have a relationship with God, it ended up hindering them to have a relationship with God. They put more laws, more measures, more tradition, more things. And those things then turn out to be a burden on the people. The Pharisees would not visit someone if that person is not a Jew. If they visit, they will not eat at your house, because they're just not sure if the food you've prepared have anything unclean. But we have to ask a question before we go forward. Why is love central in Christianity? Jesus could have responded in any or in many different ways, but he places love as the highest. He places love at the center. He says, if you believe or follow, obey these two commandments, these are the highest. All other commandments are based on these two commandments. And love is at the center. And we need to ponder on that. Number one, we can say the reason why love is central to Christian religion is because God is love. He's not just loving, but the nature, the attributes. He is love. If any kind of love is going to flow, it must flow from him. The reason why love is central is because we have God who is love. I mean, when he says he's going to send his son, he says, "For God so loved the world." He's not just love, but he's loving. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. So the Christian religion or Christianity is based on love. And the Pharisees missed this one. They missed to understand how the relationship or how to relate to God. They were looking more at the external things. So love is central because God is love and he's a loving God. In 1 Corinthians, Paul takes a look at love more in details. He speaks of love in a church that praised the gifts. In a church where there was an excess of spiritual gifts. And Paul says, even if you speak in tongues, if you do not love, it's like a noisy gong. You can speak in tongues, you can have powers to heal, you can do all these things, but if love is not there, it is all useless. That must be bold. Paul also put love as central to our faith. When you go to the book of John, it says, if you do not love your brother, you might as well be a murderer. So the Pharisees, concentrating on what they do, on duty, they fail to understand that to God, it is love for duty, to do duty, to able to do works. You don't work in order to gain acceptance. And for them, the Pharisees, it was more doing the work in order to gain favor with God. And God says, no. So that is why the love is central, because God is love and God is the one who loves. The Pharisees failed because they failed to understand that to God it matters, it's the inner person. Christianity is not Islam. It is not based on what you do. It is based on the reality of the relationship you have with God. Christianity is a relational religion. You have to have a personal relationship. When he says you shall love the Lord your God, there is, in a sense, in that word love, a call for relationship, a call for a deeper relationship with God. It is not based on the works, it is based on how we love God, we relate to Him. Secondly, in that word love the Lord your God, in that word love, there is a sense of devotion. When you love someone, you are devoted to that person. When you love someone, no one pushes you behind. Your focus, your attention is zoomed in into that person, the object of your love. And Jesus is saying to the Pharisees, in order to have or to please God, love God. Make God the object of your love. And not just loving Him partly or giving Him partly of yourself. He says, love the Lord with all your heart. If we have a picture of your heart as a mansion, you don't just give Him the living room and the bedroom. God wants every room of your heart. He will not settle for anything less than that. He says, love Him with all your heart. Give yourself to Him. Give Him all of yourself. Love Him with all of your soul. Don't leave anything. Don't give part of you and keep part of you for yourself. Love Him sincerely. Love Him fully. And love God with all your mind. In other words, flood your thoughts with God. Flood your thinking with God. Do you wake up in the morning with thoughts filled with God? Do you go to bed at night thinking about your Creator? Do you drive to work or go to school flooding your mind with thoughts about God? Because, brothers and sisters, our relationship with God, it is a personal relationship. There is nothing that we do in order to attain that relationship. It is God who loves us. The only things we can do, it is to love Him fully. And you know, there are so many competition. There are so many things in the world that are competing, fighting to get your heart, fighting to get your mind, fighting that you share that love with something else. We can mention so many things. Sports. I can't go to Bible study because, man, Manchester United or Springbok or Kaizer Chiefs is playing today, so therefore I'm staying home. Or there is a program that I cannot miss. Church must just wait. I mean, there's next week as well. I can't do my prayers, my Bible study, or lead a prayer service because I've got other things than God. God will not accept anything less. He calls us. He calls us into a loving, real, warm relationship. It is a personal relationship. This was a slap in the face for Pharisees. I mean, we are talking about people that seem to dedicate everything they are into their relationship with God. And Jesus says, you've got it wrong. You've got it wrong. The call is to love Him with everything we have. This means that all other relations in our lives must never be above our relationship with God. He comes first. He is in the pole position. He is the reality. And here's the thing. When our mind, our heart, our soul, they are so entrenched into a loving relationship with God, it has an amazing impact in everything we do. It has an amazing impact in our earthly relationships. When we are entrenched in loving God, something wonderful happens in our marriages. When we are entrenched in loving God wholeheartedly, something happens in our parents, in our relationship on earth. We are called. You see, obedience, the problem with legalism is a distortion of obedience that can never produce good works in this. It's your motive and purpose, seeing good things, good deeds, as the way to earn God's favor. And the things about legalism, it can be arrogant and contemptuous of those who do not labor in the same way. You find that legalism doesn't breathe love. In fact, it is self-centered and self-seeking. It seeks to praise itself. It seeks the attention to itself than to God. And here Jesus says to the Pharisees, love your Lord, your God, sincerely. And this, you know, when I read this passage and I think, man, if you can do a little bit of study about the Pharisees, they were trying really hard. They were sincerely trying. Really, I mean, they were not playing games. Jesus went to die on the cross because he blasphemed in the eyes of the Pharisees and the priests. They were serious people. And to think that they
with all the expertise and all the knowledge they had, they've got it wrong. We should be reading these passages with prayer in mind. Because we should remember that in order to love God, God must help us to love Him. The human heart, the human mind is anti-God. It is not natural for a human man to simply be drawn to love God or to simply love God by himself. Something needs to happen in order for a man to be filled with the desire and the longing and the yearnings to love God. And we need to be in prayer as we pursue Him, that we do not become legalists in our pursuit of God. That we do not miss it like the Pharisees missed it. So therefore, God must do something in our hearts. God must change and transform our hearts and in order for us to have that longing. Pharisees failed. Verse 38, this is the great and the first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. You know, I have yet to meet, maybe there are, unless there's something wrong, but naturally people love themselves. And sometimes the wisdom of the Bible is just amazing. Because simply, love your neighbor as you love yourself. If you have to measure the way you love yourself, how you put yourself at an advantage position all the time, you will never disadvantage yourself. You love yourself that you will protect yourself at all costs. I mean, you see this from the kids. The kids will go for the same toy. The kids will fight over small things. So the Bible, in its wisdom, measured. So our relationship with God, love your Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. The second, love your neighbor as you love yourself. In that order, God first, and that love translate to our love on earth. And it's impossible to say you love God, but you just can't take your neighbor. There's something missing if you say, my love relationship with, perhaps you have not fully comprehended what that love is like. Because to understand the love that we share or that we have for God and He have for us is that He gave Himself, He gave the best, He gave up everything. He gave Himself as God. He emptied Himself. He loved us when it was not necessary to love us. He loved us when there was nothing to be loved in us. So this kind of love does not wait for the object of the love to say, I love you, in order to love back. Loving your neighbor does not mean that he must treat me in a way that is loving in order for me to treat him in the way that is loving. The love that God calls us to have is the same love He has loved us with. It does not wait for the object of love. It says love Him. Love Him. And brothers and sisters, I mean, I'm not saying this lightly. There are neighbors that are far more difficult to love than others. There are neighbors that you seek and think, you know, now I'm in the flesh. I'm they are testing you to the limit. You've got all the argument and the reason that is worthy to justify why you cannot love. You can put up a list and say, these are the reason why I'm justified. And God says, no. No. We are called to love. Period. We are called to love fully. Period. Whatever argument, it will not suffice to God. Why? You know why? We experience that same love. If we have a slightest hint of the extent of sin in our lives, the fact that He loved us while we were continue to run away from Him. When we speak of God's love, I think sometimes of, you know, on TV, it's not so much now, but there's this whole thing of mob justice. We South Africans, we just see that on TV. I imagine someone is standing there to be stoned by community. As they stand there, someone steps up and say, you know what, I'll take his place. I'll replace him. Stone me instead. And as this person survives and walks away, he does not walk away, but he turns around and joins the crowd to pick up the stones and throw to that individual. While God continues to pursue us with his love, we continue to spit in his face. And he says to us, when he has grabbed us, running straight to hell, and loved us, when it was attractive to to be loved, he says, we have been loved, therefore we love our neighbor. The source of our love, brothers and sisters, does not come to the conditions. The source of our love comes from God to demonstrate what he has done to us. We are called to love. No excuses. We have no excuse. And anything less, it is not acceptable in the eyes of God. Love is central. This is one of the things that makes Christianity stand above and beyond, uncomparable with any other religion. It is this, that God is love. He loved us as we should love our neighbor. Now, you know, living in South Africa, we are vocal people. We have neighbors that they behave in a way. I was watching some news recently on videos. Of people fighting on the road. Road rage. My English. People fighting on the road. Do you know this call for love our neighbor? We're not talking about here people you know. We're not talking just about people that you've kind of conditioned yourself to say, you know what, I've built myself up and worked myself up. Now I can perhaps take this person. You meet someone there, a stranger on the road, and you have an episode. And sometimes, the way we react, the way we respond, it is not a loving way. It is not a loving way. If you were to be caught by heaven cameras, perhaps they catch us every time. But to be played, it will not be a pretty sight. You see, our hearts are deceitful. It's easy for us to sit and listen and say, this has nothing to do with me. I mean, I'm speaking to myself. It has nothing to do with me. I'm the good guy. But the heart is deceitful. We fight on the road with strangers. We fight in the shopping line, in supermarkets. We fight at school with the teachers and principals. We fight with the neighbor that we stay with. We always have a reason why we should fight. And the Bible is calling us to something higher, to something way more bigger than ourselves. And the question I have for you today, do you love the Lord your God with all your heart? And that's the question you have to answer for yourself. Do you love the Lord, the God, with all your soul, with all your heart and all your mind? Is God central in your heart? Is God everything to you? Or is God competing with everything else in your life? How do you know? How do you know that we love Him with all our hearts? How do we know that we are fully committed? How do we know we love Him sincerely? Number one, he who loves God, his mind is filled with thoughts about God. Psalm 139:18. When I awake, I am still with you. When you wake up, you delight in the Lord. Number two, do we desire intimacy of communion with God? My heart and flesh cries out for the living God. Psalm 84:2. If we love God, we prize His ordinances, because there we meet with God. He speaks to us in His word, and we speak to Him in prayer. Number three, you know you love the Lord, the God, the Lord, if you grieve for your sins. If you grieve for your sins, when Peter thought how dearly Christ loved him and how he was taken up into the Mount of Transfiguration, when Christ showed him the glory of heaven in a vision, but denied Christ. This broke his heart with grief. He went out and wept bitterly. Matthew 26:75. Do we grieve for our unkindness? Do we grieve for our own sin? Does it trouble us that we sin against God? Or we just move along and we've gotten used to it. It's just a small blimp. Lord will forgive me. Fourthly, we love what God loves. When you love the Lord with all your heart and soul and mind, you love what the Lord loves. We love His words, His word, Psalm 119:72. The law from your mouth is more precious to me than the thoughts, than the 1,000 pieces of silver and gold. The lines of scripture are richer than the mines of gold. You look at prosperity gospel today, God is not there. He cannot be there. Because God is not the highest prize. Money is the highest prize. God is not the center of the church. The man of God is the center of the church. And when you know that you love the Lord with all your heart and soul, you love what God loves. Your heart is entrenched in who God is. We don't love Him for what He can do. We love Him for who He is. Big difference. Big difference. Love his obedience. John 14:21, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is one who loves me. It's one thing to be excited about the word of God. It's one thing to prize the word of God, but do totally different from what the Bible says. And that's not love. And sometimes the Bible calls us to do most difficult things, like loving your neighbor. It is difficult because we're human, we're sinful. But the word of God calls us. And Jesus says, those who hear my command and obey them, they love me. I hope, I pray that God will pour out his spirit on us as the church. I pray that he will warm our hearts and impress upon us more of him. I pray that we will see more of God in our day, when we wake up in the morning, when we go to sleep, that we see him, we live with him, we experience him, so that the world might see him through us, the church, so that the neighbor next door is not scratching their head when they hear that you are a believer, because they've never seen anything that resembles Christ in you. I pray that God pour out himself more and more in our hearts, because I understand, we need to understand, it is impossible to do it on ourselves. We cannot love God by ourselves. It is the grace of God that enables us to have that desire. We do not want to coast into heaven. We want to pursue him. We want to search for him. We want to look for him. We want to long for him. We want to yearn for him. We want to be hungry for God every day. We want to swim in the ocean of God and bathe ourselves, because his love, we can never get our hands around us, around him. His love is so deep that we can never reach the bottom, and that we can drink from his love every day, so that we can love the world. We can love the people. We can love those who need God's love out there. And most importantly, we can love each other. Because God says, how will the world know that you belong to me when you love each other? Let's pray.